Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Chapter number 56, Psalms chapter 56 this evening. And we are on Wednesday nights working our way through the book of Psalms. And we are now Psalms chapter 56. And I think we have about 100 more to go, all right? So we'll get there eventually, Psalms chapter 56. And if you found your place already, go right to the middle of the Bible. That's how you'll find where we're at. Go right to the middle of the Bible, and then big number 56. It'll say Psalm right across the top, all right? But if you found your place, let's stand together out of respect for the reading of God's Word, Psalms chapter 56. And let's stand and read God's Word together. We'll read the first three verses. We'll work our way through all of it, but we'll read three just for our scripture reading together this evening. Verse number one. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. And mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Man, and then verse number three, a very familiar verse. As soon as we read it, you'll recognize it. But verse number three, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Isn't that a great verse? Let's read verse number three together, okay? Let's read. What time I am afraid, I will. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would this evening teach us what it means to trust in you. Father, teach us what it means to move from a place of fear to a place of faith. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Father, teach us this, and we'll be sure to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said together, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There are, as we have noticed in this chat, in this study of Psalms, there are times in the psalm where we know exactly the context that David is facing. There are some times that you a psalm and you aren't quite for sure. I mean, you can theorize about what David may be going through, and perhaps because of our familiarity with David, it may seem like this is one set of circumstance or the other. There are times where we do not know why David is writing, but there are times that we know exactly why David is writing. And Psalms 56 is one of the times where we know exactly the circumstance that David finds himself in. Look at the subscript. Psalms 56, so you have the chapter number, and then you have the verse. And between that chapter number 56 and the verse, there's probably a subscript in your Bible. And that subscript is enlightening to us. It's telling us, man, what's happening in the circumstance around David. So it says, to the chief musician. And at the very end, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Do you see that? So this psalm was written when David was seized or taken into captivity at the time he was in Gath. And that word Gath, to those of you who are familiar with the Bible, that word probably has a sort of familiar hint to it. You probably heard the word Gath, and you probably went, where have I heard the name Gath before? Does anyone remember where Gath comes from? There was one man in particular, a certain champion, someone who stood head and shoulders above everyone else, who walked down to the valley of Elah. He called out Saul from the camp of the Israelites, and yet Saul was too afraid to go, and David descended into the valley, and man, that shepherd became a warrior in the middle of the valley of Elah that day when he faced a champion of Gath. You remember his name? Goliath. Goliath, the champion of Gath. And now David has found himself in such a circumstance that he's been he's been seized, or he's been arrested, or he's been captive. He's been captured in this place called Gath. The story is found for us in 1 Samuel chapter number 20. Saul is the king of Israel. Saul is determined to kill David. So David flees from Saul, and in fleeing from Saul, he runs to a town called Nob. That's an interesting town name, the town of Nob, right? He runs there, and when he gets there, he meets a man by the name of Ahimelech. Ahimelech gives David some food, and Ahimelech gives David some weapons, and Saul and his men rain down on the city of Nob. Man, they destroy all those who've helped David, but David escapes from Nob with his life, a little bit of food, and one weapon in particular, the sword of Goliath. And so David runs from Nob with a little food in his stomach and a weapon on his back, which is a sword that had belonged to Goliath, and he runs to the enemy of Israel. Man, this group of people, this other nation, man, whose whole reason for existence was to wipe out Israel, the Philistines and the Israelites. You don't have to know a lot about your Bible to know that they do not like each other, okay? And so David is in such a place that this is where he runs in order to escape Saul. Saul's a powerful man, and Saul has a big army, but Saul's army and Saul's power and Saul's might is no might for the might of the Philistines, and so David knows he's safe there. And when David gets into town, everyone takes notice. And man, they begin to whisper, as much like a Baptist church. They begin to whisper all around town. Do you see him? Did you see her? Do you see where they're sitting? Did you notice what row they were on? Right? They begin to whisper all the way through the town about this new man in town. David would have been, man, he would have been very distinguished that day. David, of course, we know, is a man who has, man, just rugged good looks. David is a man who's very athletically fit, but David is not a Philistine. Philistines were large, they were strong, think like caveman mode, right? That was the Philistines, and in comes David, who doesn't look anything like a Philistine, doesn't talk anything like a Philistine, doesn't act in any way like a Philistine, and on top of that, he has a weapon that is way too big for him strapped to his back. And everyone would have noticed exactly what weapon that was and who it belonged to. Now, that's a very famous sword, perhaps one of the most famous swords in all of history, the sword of Goliath of Gath. Man, that rivals Excalibur. And when David walks into Gath on that day, everyone takes note. Word gets back to the king, and the king says, don't mess with that man, because that is a mighty warrior. That's literally what they say. Do not do anything to David. David is a mighty warrior, and yet David feels the staring, he hears the whispering, he knows the attack, and you'll see some of that in a minute in the psalm. He knows it, notices all this, and you remember what one thing in particular David does in that city which causes him or allows him to escape. Do you remember? David feigns himself mad, which is literally David pretends to be crazy. David pretends to be insane, and in pretending to be insane, everybody around him goes, that's the mighty warrior. Man, this is our chance to take off his head. We get to dethrone the guy who dethroned our champion. And then David begins to feign himself mad. He fakes as if he were insane. And then the king says, obviously, this is not the same man. Obviously, there's been some mistake. Obviously, there's something wrong with him. And then David escapes Gath with his life. It's a wonderful story. I encourage you to read it for homework this evening, 1 Samuel chapter number 20. But there's several things before David gets out of there that David pins. That's this psalm. David is not yet out, but David is about to be out. So we know how the story ends. And yet this is what David experienced in his heart, in his emotions, while he was going through it. Now, I got to go fast because our time is limited. But you'll pick up on the you'll pick up on the tense here, the fear that David faces. In fact, if you wanted a theme for the psalm would literally be afraid. This is verse number 3. What time I am afraid. David says, for man would swallow me up. He fights me every day. Verse number 1. And verse number 2, mine enemies, they do daily swallow me up, and for they are many that fight against me. And what we know is eventually, man, all those distressed, all those discouraged, all those indebted, they eventually go out of Israel. They meet David in the cave of Adullam, and David forms this band of mighty men. Man, hundreds of warriors gather themselves to David. But that does not happen until 1 Samuel chapter 21. This is not 1 Samuel 21, this is 1 Samuel 20, where David is all by himself in the middle of enemy territory, behind enemy lines, with Goliath's sword strapped to his back. And that's where he writes this: mine enemies are many, but I am alone. And David is, several things then to notice about David. David's under attack. David is alone. Look at verse number 5. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God, man, this is a great verse, for God is for me. Man, that has like Romans, that has Paul, that has a Paul tenor to it, doesn't it? Man, I know this, God is for me. And what does Paul write on that same idea? And if God is for me, well then, who can be against me, right? And David finding that same confidence there, verse number 10, and in God I will praise his word, and in the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust, and I will, here it is again, I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Because thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast, now he's out, he's in the cave of Adullam, 1 Samuel chapter number 21. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? David is under attack, David is alone, and obviously David is afraid. So what changed? And what took David from under attack and alone and afraid, a place where he was overwhelmed with fear? What took David from fear to faith? Well, it really happens in verse number 3 and in verse number 4. Look at it with me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And in God, I will praise his word. And in God I have put my trust, I will not fear. It's an interesting contrast. Look at verse number 3, how it begins, what time I am afraid. Look at how verse number 4 ends, I will not fear. Verse number 3 begins, what time I am afraid. Verse number 4 ends, I will not fear. Something happens in the middle of verse 3. In the middle of the end of verse number 4, something happens in David's heart, in David's understanding, that causes him to go from being afraid to being filled with faith. What is it? Well, look at the words. This is a very simple exercise to do. Look at verse number 3. I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word, for in God I have put my trust. David does 3 things in this chapter that moves him from fear to faith. That takes him from attacked, alone, afraid, to confident, delivered, even asking God to go to war with him against these, his enemy. So David does 3 things. I'm going to point them out to you quickly. Number 1, notice David is firm in the character of God. David is firm in the character of God. Look at it. I will, verse number 3, I will trust in thee. In who? In God, verse number 4. In God, I will praise his word. And in God, David is reminding himself of who God is. David is crying out to God. David is overwhelmed. David is oppressed. David is alone. David is attacked. David is afraid. And in this place of fear, David's first reaction is to cry out to God. Prayer is not David's last resort. Prayer is David's first resort. Prayer is not the last thing David does. Prayer it is the first thing that David does. And this is what happens in our lives. Sometimes the last thing we do is make our request known to God. And what it ought to be in our lives, brothers and sisters, is it ought to be prayer is the first thing that we do. And prayer is our first approach. Before going to anyone else, before going to anywhere else, and we should certainly get counsel. We talked an entire sermon on Sunday night about that. We should certainly get counsel. We should certainly be wise. We should certainly read landscape and get input, but we should make our request known unto God. The first thing that David does is he takes his fear to the Lord. When he is faced with fear, a kind of fear that overwhelms, a kind of fear that oppresses, a kind of fear that has a loneliness attached to it. When David is in that position, David makes his request known to God. When we are in that kind of position, what do we do? Well, generally, we focus only on that which we are afraid of. You ever been in a place where you have a certain measure of fear, a kind of fear that has a loneliness attached to it? A kind of fear that says no one will understand what I'm going through. No one will understand this situation. No one could possibly understand the hurt that I've felt. You've ever had a fear that has a loneliness on it? That's what David is facing. And at the exact moment that David faces this kind of fear, the antidote is not to look within himself and find a better him. The answer is not to phone a friend and get some counsel. The answer is to look to God. I'm going to look to you, God. I'm going to be confident in you. I'm going to remind myself of you. I trust in thee, verse number 3 reads. What does David trust in God to do? What is the character of God that David reminds himself of? Reminds himself several things about our God that are still true for us today. Number one, God judges all sin. Look at verse number 5. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are evil against me. Or all their thoughts are against me for evil. Verse number 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? That's literally the question. God, are you going to let them get away with this? So David, in this particular situation, there are certain situations David finds himself in where David is in that situation because of his own wrongdoing. You can think Psalms 51. Okay, David is in that situation because of his own sin. There are times where we're overwhelmed with fear, attacked, have a sense of loneliness, and are afraid because we have sinned, and that's a part of the consequence of our sin. But in this situation in particular, David is innocent. He is as innocent as someone possibly can be. David is not guilty of having shed blood. David is not guilty of having gone behind the back of Saul. David is not guilty of having done anything sinful that would require some sort of consequence being played out in his life. David, in this sense, is free or innocent of any wrongdoing, and yet Saul is hunting, and yet the Philistines are attacking, and man, people are oppressing, and David finds himself alone. David finds himself oppressed, and what David reminds himself is God deals with the sin of all the world. That God will deal with him. This is a good thing to be reminded of sometimes. God will deal with them. Hey, listen, God is better at being God than you are. God is better at being God than you are. And sometimes we feel like we have to run around and justify and rationalize and make right and put everybody in their place as if we were some sort of person who never had made any mistakes ourselves. And yet David reminds himself, God judges all sin. God will take care of it. This is an important thing to do when you're under attack. To be reminded that God will take care of it. That God will deal with that.
I don't have to always run and defend. I don't always have to give an answer. I don't always have to have a response. I don't always have to rebuke back. I don't always have. God will deal with them. And listen, God is better at being God than we are at trying to play God. And David reminds himself, God will judge all sin. But David also reminds himself that God is aware of his suffering. Look at verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, and are they not in thy book? The image is that in ancient times, in those kinds of climates, that the way that they would preserve precious liquids, things like water or milk or juice or wine, they would have to put it in some sort of special container. So David is literally referencing that sort of image. He's saying, God, take my tears and preserve them. Put them in thy book. Understand them. Know where they came from. Why? Because it's precious to you. Every single tear that David cried was precious to God. That's the image that's being painted. He's saying, God, you not only know my tears, but you will remember my tears. Because why? Because they are in thy book. He says, you're taking note of them. The Bible is clear about this from God, that God hears every single cry. And God remembers. And God never forgets those tears. And God, listen, friend. God is mindful of every grief you've ever had. God is aware of every heartbreak that your heart has experienced. God knows your suffering. God is aware of it. He's not turned from it. Sometimes in the Psalms, you'll read this kind of same idea. God, turn your face my way. What does he say? He just wants to be reminded that God actually is aware of it. God actually remembers it. God's actually paying attention to it. That's what David is saying here. He's reminded of the character of God and that God judges all sin. He's reminded of the character of God and that God is aware of his suffering. He's reminded of the character of God and that God delivers David's steps. That's really the idea. Verse number 11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid, because what can man do unto me? And then verse number 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The image there of his feet and of his walking. So again, he's given us this visual aid about David taking step after step and how God is directing David's steps. And sometimes this is what we do when we're overwhelmed with fear. We find ourselves attacked, alone, and afraid. Sometimes we're too afraid to even do anything. We're too afraid to move. We're too afraid to take a step. We want to know how it's going to work out. We want to know what's going to happen way out there. What about 5 years from now, and 10 years from now, and 25 years from now? And so this fear of what happens next keeps us frozen in the moment. And what David is saying is, man, sometimes I just need God to help me. Man, not with what I'm going to do 5 years from now. God, I just need you to get me through the day today. You ever been there? When you're there, be reminded God delivers our steps. God's aware of our suffering and God judges all sin. David reminds himself of the character of God. He's firm in the care of God. Number two, he has faith in the word of God. In fact, you see this three times in the text. Three times. I got to go fast here, so you got to look quickly with me. Look at verse number four. Look at verse number four. So David says, I will trust in thee. That's the character of God. Verse number four, in God I will praise his word. Now this is the word of God. How does David move from fear to faith? David moves from fear to faith because he reminds himself of who God is. David moves from fear to faith because he reminds himself of God's word. Look at verse number 4. In God I will praise his word. Look at verse number 10. In God I will praise his word. Look at the end of verse number 10. In the Lord I will praise his word. You think he's trying to communicate a point? How many of you know God does not waste words? All the words of God are inspired by God. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, right? This is what the Bible is for us. So what's he trying to tell us about his word?
Chantel says his word is really important. The character of God helps David move from fear to faith. The word of God helps David move from fear to faith. Many commentators would say about that verse in particular, or those verses, I should say, in particular, that that's a specific reference for David. In fact, you may even have like a subscript verse, maybe a cross-reference. So those cross-references are what the commentator or Bible scholars would say, well, this is what David is thinking about. When David writes this, he's thinking about this verse over here. So one of those cross-references would be found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David is given a decree or a word from God about what God is doing in David's life. So when David says, I'm going to remember your word, I'm going to obey your word, I'm going to praise your word, I'm going to be reminded, I'm going to spend time in, I'm going to hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When David is saying that, he's thinking about one thing in particular. What was God's word to David? God's word to David, David, you'll be the shepherd king. David is reminding himself about what God had said to him. So several things then about God's word. First, God's word is sure. That's verse number 9. That back part which we pointed out. For God is for me. For God is for me. David has a very specific word that he's reminding himself from God's word about how God is good for his word. Hear me on this. There are not very many people in this world who are good for their word, but God is good for his word. There are not a lot of people that you can trust, but you can trust God. That God's word is sure. God's word is also sufficient. In fact, that's what he says in verse number 11. I, in God, have I put my trust. I will not be afraid, because what can man do unto me? So now David's come full circle. God's word is sure. God's word is true. But God's word is sufficient in that God's word is enough. Is having God's word enough for you? You see, this is meant to raise our confidence in the word and words of God. Is God's word enough? There are many in our world who would answer that verbally with a yes, but they would answer that practically with a no. Well, I need God's word and. God's word and. Yeah, I get it. I get it. You're supposed to spend time in the Bible, Pastor. I understand. Yeah, I get that. But what else? But yeah, but what else? Yeah, but what else can we do? What else should we do? Man, the Bible gives us all things necessary, the Apostle Peter says, for all things in for life and in godliness. All things necessary for life and godliness found right here in this book. Is God's word sufficient? We here at First Baptist have a belief that God's word is sufficient. That's why we have the Bible preaching and teaching method that we do. Next chapter, next verse. That's all we need is God's word. That's all we need is God's word. If we have God's word, we'll be fine. Listen, church, you should nod your head on that point. That's a good one, okay? Nod your head. This sermon will be shorter, all right? Bob your head and the sermon will be longer, all right? David is firm in the character of God. Firm in the character of God. David has faith in the word of God. That's what happens in verse between verse 3, time I am afraid, and the end, verse 4, I will not fear. When I'm afraid, I will not fear. Why? Because I know who my God is. I know the character my God has. I understand that God is aware. I know God judges sin. I know God's directing my steps. And I may not know all the steps, but I know the next step I am to take, and God goes with me in this step. And David is also raising his faith in the word of God. God's word is sure. God's word is sufficient. Last one, ready? How does David move from fear to faith? David fulfills his word to God. David fulfilled his word to God. Look at the very end of the chapter. This is it. We're done. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. David has escaped from the enemy. And David's heart is thankful. David's heart has been reminded of God's character. David's heart has been raised to a level of confidence because of God's word. And now David is expressing his thankfulness to God for his word and character by way of obedience. God, I told you I would do this, and now I'm going to do this. David fulfills his word. David does what he said he would do. And this is sometimes where we fall short, isn't it? Okay, God, if you do this for me, and you'll do this for me, and you'll do this for me, then I promise, if it all works out, I'll do that for you. Would you please? And God in mercy, and God in love, and God in awareness, and God in goodness, and God in surety, and God in sufficiency, meets our need, delivers us, saves us from ourselves. Our plan was, let's feign ourselves mad. That was David's plan. The way I'm going to get out of this is I'm going to pretend like I'm insane. God goes, I got something better. Just remember me, remember my word, I'll take care of it. And now David on the other side says, God, now I'm going to honor you because you blessed me. God, I'm going to now obey you because you were good to me. God, I'm now going to follow you because of what you did for me. And that reminds me of a verse in the New Testament. You'll be familiar with it. This is it. We're done. We love him. Oh, you already know it. Because he first loved us. God, I'll be obedient. I'll follow you. I'll honor you. Why? Because of what you did for me here. What did God do for him? God reminded him of his character. God reminded him of his word. And God delivered David's soul from the Philistines that day. How good is our God?